the Lord this morning for this church and our fellowship. And I'm going to get to the actual word in a second, but I want to thank Pastor Paul and Emily specifically for calling for this fast. And how many were challenged and thankful that we did this for 21 days? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you did it, and that's between you and the Lord. But if you did, we should expect results. And I was telling our church, don't miss out on this, because when you see the fruit and the blessings, you're not going to be able to say I had a part of that, and I was involved in that. And so I hope that you were a part of that. And I want to tell you something that I was feeling from the Lord during the fast. And I'm going to read in a second out of Amos for this fast. And I was telling our church what I was feeling in my spirit was, we were seeing miracles, and you were seeing miracles, and we were hearing testimonies, and things were happening. But what I felt the Holy Spirit was telling me was that what we were seeing during the fast was just a bonus. Just a bonus. And the reason is because the Bible tells us in Daniel 10, you can read that later, that when the people prayed, the Bible says that Daniel's word and prayer was heard the first day. But then there was an adversary for 21 days that fought that prayer. And so the adversary would not let that fruit come from that prayer. And so sometimes during this fasting and praying, you could be discouraged, and you could think, I didn't have a testimony, and I didn't have a miracle, and I didn't have anything happen really amazing, and does God love that person more than they love me, or any of those questions that can come in that can discourage you and cause you to think, man, did God hear me? And I want to tell you, God heard you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God heard you, and he heard you from the first day. But that adversary came along and held that prayer back. But I want to tell you something powerful from the book of Amos, chapter 9, verse 13. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified, because the Bible says basically this, and this is what I believe for this year from this fast. What we prayed in the fast and in fasting and praying was seeds sown for this year. And the Bible says that there will become a time when the seeds sown will be overtaken by the harvest. Meaning that you're sowing seeds and you're waiting for that little thing to pop up out of the ground. You're waiting to see just a little bit of green come through the soil, and that would excite you. But I'm telling you, and I want you to hear this from the Lord, there is coming soon a harvest that is going to overcome us in a way that we cannot contain it. And Amos 9:13 out of the Amplified says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the one who gathers the harvest. And the one who treads the grapes shall overtake him who sows the seed for the harvest until planting time." And I want to throw a word in there that I believe, soon and accelerated. Soon and accelerated. I believe this is a year of acceleration. And I'm saying something much more powerful than the amen you're giving me right now. Amen. I believe this is the year of acceleration. Things are going to begin to speed up when they have seemed slow. Things are going to begin to happen when it seems like nothing's happening. You're going to begin to see harvest when you feel like you haven't seen a harvest. And this word says that the one who treads will be overtaken. And listen to this, if that didn't get you excited, it says the mountains will drip sweet wine and the hills shall melt. That is, everything that was once barren will overflow with streams of blessing. Can you give the Lord an amen? That which was barren will overflow with streams of blessing. That means that it's going to be so much that we cannot even contain it. And I told our church, you should not be surprised. You should be amazed, but you should not be surprised when you see a harvest, because we didn't pray and fast just to do it. We prayed and fasted because the Bible says to do it. And when we obey the word of the Lord, we should expect a return. We should expect God to do something. Amen. We should expect him to move and hold him to his word this morning. Praise God. Amen. So I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I pray you'll keep that in your Bible. And you'll claim that all year long. And I promise you, from the Lord, that's going to happen. And I believe that. Acceleration, fast, soon, it's coming. And what I want to talk about this morning, and out of 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you'll get there, please, and give me an amen when you get there. Praise the Lord. I believe this year, 2018, is the year of restoration. Restoration. Amen. And God is going to restore what has been lost. Let's read out of 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. And right before I read, let's just anoint this in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to the hearts of every person here this morning. God, thank you for breaking every hard area in our lives, breaking every chain, breaking every distraction, removing every barrier, Father, that would cause people not to hear your word this morning. And God, by the time this message is done and we are praying at the altar, Lord, something will happen. Something will change. Something will be restored that has been lost, Father. Speak through me this morning and give me, Lord, the ability to speak what you've placed on my heart and these ears to hear it and it to go into their spirits that it'll bear fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now it happened in verse 1 when David and his men came to Ziklag. On the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great, but they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. I'm going to stop here for a second. I'm going to stop a couple times as I read this. Listen to what this says. The Bible says they were taken captive, and the women and those who were there were from small to great were taken away and carried away, but they were not killed. That means that there is loss that we get in our lives, but it doesn't mean that we're destroyed. We can have loss. We can have loss in our lives. We can have something that is taken away from us, but it doesn't mean that we're done. Can somebody say a better amen? Amen. You have a loss. You have something you felt you don't have anymore. You felt like something's been taken away from you. And when that happens, you get discouraged and you think, God's done with me. And God's not going to do anything else in me. And my opportunity is past. And this is where they were at. They were carried away. But thank God, God protects. And they were not killed. And you'll see why in a moment. So David, verse 3, and his men came to the city. And there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept. Watch this. Until they had no more power to weep. Has anybody in this place ever been at a place where you feel there's no more tears left in your head to cry? There's no more power left in your body to give out the pain that you're feeling, the discouragement that you're facing, the things that you're going through, and you don't even know what's next. You don't know how you can handle it. You thought that the last trial was the one that was the greatest. You thought you'd already hit rock bottom. You thought you'd already gone as far down as you can go. David's in a difficult place. He's coming back from a war. He's coming back from doing what he thought was the right thing and comes and sees the entire city destroyed. Nothing but smoke. He's coming back with his fighters thinking they're going to see smoke from the stove, from food being cooked. And they're going to have a great celebration. And when they realize that smoke is not from food, they see it's dark and it's black and it's mighty and there's a lot of flames. They realize everything has been destroyed. Everything has been taken away. And not only has it been burned, but their families are gone. And here's the crazy thing. We think sometimes we've hit rock bottom. He says, I can't weep anymore. I can't cry anymore. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelites and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. So he has lost everything that he could possibly lose in his life at this moment. And so you have to get to a place in your life where we realize that some things, and I want you to hear this if you don't hear anything else in this message this morning, some things we're facing right now don't have anything to do with something we did. I want you to listen closely to that. A lot of things we face in our lives don't have anything to do with something we did. Personally, I'm not taking you off the hook. I'm not saying you haven't done anything wrong. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm saying there are battles we face as a family and as a fellowship and as a church that don't always directly have to do with what I'm dealing with in my life or anything I did, but they are dealing right now with something. Watch this. They are dealing with something in their lives that they're fighting because of Saul. Did you recognize the name Amalekites? Does that ring a bell to anybody? We're in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and the Amalekites are the one that destroys David's family and burns down his house. Well, David was running from Saul. David wasn't even supposed to be in Ziklag. David was in borrowed time and borrowed land, and he had had to join forces with the Philistines because he had ran from Saul. He said, there's no place else for me to go. I got to go where the Philistines are. I got to go where there's no place else for me to go. Let me tell you something. Sometimes God will let you get in a place where there's no place else to go. No place else to go. Desperation. And he gets to this place, and now he's living there, and he's making the best of the life that he has because it's all he can do. He has to either fight against the Philistines or he has to die by the Philistines. So he joins up with them, but he didn't choose that course. He was pushed out by a decision Saul made. And then on top of that, watch this. The Amalekites never would have existed to destroy Ziklag if Saul would have listened to the voice of Samuel in 1 Samuel 15 when he said, go in and destroy, utterly destroy them all. And Saul did not listen. You have many times in situations where you're dealing with someone's problem, a child in a family or even a marriage that's dealing with marital problems. I find over the years talking to people that a lot of times they'll come in and they'll be bickering at each other and fighting with each other, and you realize the fight that they're fighting has absolutely nothing to do with them two people, but all the surrounding garbage around their lives. All the other family members talking, all the other people putting in their input, and they're bickering at each other, and that's what the devil wants the church of Jesus Christ to do. He wants the disobedience or problems of other people to get us to bicker and fight with each other. There's nothing wrong with us. It's something else somebody else has done, and we're having to face the consequences of it right now. We're having to go to Ziklag. We're having to be with the Philistines. We're having to go to these places because of somebody else. Again, I'm not taking us off the hook. I'm telling you, there's a situation in our lives that happens sometimes where we're facing something that has nothing to do with us, but we have to face it anyways. It's either face it or quit. We don't have any quitters in here. Can I get an amen? How many in here are not quitters? If you didn't raise your hand, you're not a quitter. I'm telling you, you're not a quitter. You might think you're a quitter, but you're not a quitter because you're here. Amen. There's many times we could have quit and gave up, but we didn't give up. Now watch this. Stay with me. Verse 6. Interesting. Now David was greatly distressed. What do you call the prior verses that said he wept so much he didn't have anything left to weep? Now he's greatly distressed. I mean, that's when you think, man, I can't. This can't get no worse. This cannot get any worse. Guess what? A lot of times it gets worse before it gets better. But here's the good news. I just get ahead of myself a little bit. It gets better. Just in case you think this is a negative message, let me tell you, it's going to get real positive in a second. Okay? So get excited. All right? It's negative right now. You might be in a situation right now. It's negative. It's bad. The world told you there's no hope. The family told you it's over. The job told you that you don't have a place to work anymore. The doctors told you your body's dead. You've got cancer. I'm talking to somebody here this morning. You've got some news. You're dealing with some things, and you're a little bit frustrated. But now David was greatly distressed. Here's why. For the people spoke of stoning him. So he comes back to his house. It's destroyed. It's on fire. All of his family's been kidnapped. Doesn't know where they're at. He weeps for his house. He weeps for his family. And he gets down and he thinks, man, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in my life. And then he begins to hear the voices of the other people saying, this is David's fault. This is David's fault. This is our leader's fault. This is somebody else's fault. And no one's taken any responsibility. And now David, in the midst of everything else he's facing, now he has to know that he's about to die by the stoning of his own people. He says, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters, watch this, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Let me tell you who's going to have breakthrough in 2018. Those who learn how to get a hold of God for themselves. For themselves. On your own. Corporate prayer is awesome. Praying and fasting together like we just did is so powerful. But it wouldn't be powerful if every one of us individually didn't say, I'm going to do my part. I don't know about you, but I had some days when I thought, hey, nobody's going to know I'm going to eat except me. Amen? I had to do a 10-hour drive to Midland, Texas. And you know what Midland is? Middle of nowhere land. They just made it shorter because it couldn't fit on the signs. Midland means middle of nowhere land. 5 hours of nothingness. And I had to drive on Tuesday, the second day of that 3-day. And I'm just going to put myself on blast for a second. We were doing the 18th day, and I got that video from Pastor. And he said, let's do 3 days, just water. And I said, no, Pastor. No, you do that. I've done 18 days of this fasting. That's a lot. And Destiny comes into my office Sunday night. She says, hey, are you going to announce the 3 days? And I said, no, I'm not. And here's why. Because I don't believe in asking other people to do what I don't do. And I wasn't going to do it. And I was kind of coarse with her, and I had to ask her to forgive me later. I was already a little hungry. I was already a little frustrated. I was getting ready for the service. And by the time I got up to the pulpit to preach that night, guess what I announced? Church, we've been challenged for 3 days here to finish up this. Holy Spirit said, you're going to announce it, and you're going to do it. Amen. And I knew that second day of that third day of 21 days was going to be really hard. And I'm driving down the road to Midland. And how many know when you're in a car and you're driving, there's nothing better to pass the time than to drink something. It's like a Coke or something, and eat some food and snack on something. It makes the time go by. Can I get an amen? Has anybody ever driven 5 hours in the car? And I'm thinking, Lord, I can justify this. If I don't eat, I'm going to pass out. And if I wreck, then this is over. And I got a family and I got all kinds. I'm justifying everything. I took a bag of sunflower seeds because I always eat sunflower seeds when I drive so I can stay awake. And they were on that bottom floor calling me all 5 hours. There was times I picked up the bag and went to open it and threw it back on the floor again. You know why? Because it was just me and God. Nobody else saw what I was doing. It was just me and God. I wasn't going to cheat Pastor. I wasn't going to cheat our fellowship. I wasn't going to cheat God. I was going to cheat me. Got to Midland, did what I had to do, turned around, drove back 5 hours. Then it's nighttime. Then it's dark. And I'm hungrier. And I'm more grouchy. And I'm more frustrated. And you know what? Let me tell you something. That 5 hours back, I knew I was going to grab them sunflower seeds. I knew I was going to justify it, but I had the most clarity in my mind. My mind was so focused. I didn't have no caffeine. I didn't have no sunflower seeds. I didn't have no food. I was more awake in that 5 hours than I've ever been driving in my life. Why? Because I got a hold of God. I got a hold of God. How many got a hold of God on this fast? Amen. So he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Psalms 121 verse 1 and 2 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whom my help comes. My help comes from the Lord. Acts 17, 27 and 28 says this. This is what we got to get to the place of understanding. For in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. Come on, somebody get that inside of you. In him we live and move and have our being. Amen. I love to be encouraged by you. I love to encourage you. I love someone to pat me on the back and tell me that it's going to be all right. But there's nothing better than getting on their face before God and saying, God, if nobody else does this, if nobody else fights, if nobody else keeps in this battle, I'm going to do it because I love you. It's you and me, God. And it's me and you against the world. And we're going to make it. Can somebody say amen? We're going to make it. He didn't have nobody else to encourage him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. We're going to close here in a minute in a verse, but I want you to hold your place there, and I want you to go over to Mark chapter 8. And I want to show you something that was a revelation for me. It's so exciting to be preaching all these years and still get revelations. Listen, if you're a new believer and you're young in the Lord, man, there's so much in store for you. There's so much exciting stuff coming in your future. It's so exciting to read this. See, a lot of people, when they're new in the Lord, they think, man, this is going to get old. This is going to get boring someday. I'm going to have read the Bible 5 times, and I'm going to know it all, and I'm going to recite it all, and I'm going to have it all. And no, you don't. You don't know. The more you get saved and the more you've been saved, the more you realize you don't know much. But God. But God. Amen. And so I've read this story 1,000,000 times, used it in evangelistic meetings, used it to pray for the sick. But watch this, Mark chapter 8, verse 22. This is going to speak to at least somebody this morning. I believe it'll speak to more than one. Verse 22 of Mark chapter 8. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. And so he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, by the way, after tonight or this afternoon when we pray right in a few minutes for healing, we're going to do this. We're going to spit on people's eyes. Amen. We're going to believe for healing. Put his hands on him. He asked if he saw anything. Now, here's the interesting thing. We have talked about this for a long time. We've used this a lot of times in praying for people. When we pray for them, he says, do you see anything? And that next verse says, he asked him if he saw anything. What's that next? He says, and he looked up and said, watch this. He said, I see men like trees walking. Okay, we've all read that verse. And what we do is we say, okay, we're going to pray again, right? Many times. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're going to pray again because a partial miracle has taken place. Because he was blind, but now he sees something. Okay? He sees something. And he says, I see men like trees walking. And then the story goes to tell us that he prays again. And then all of a sudden his sight is, let me read it because it's important. Watch this. He says, again, he put his hands on him and his eyes again and made him look up. And there's the word. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. This is an interesting thought. He was blind, right? Couldn't see. Jesus prayed for him, and now he says, I see men like trees. I have a question for you. How could he know what trees look like if he'd never seen before, if he was blind? That means he had seen before. That was a revelation to me. That means that there's people coming into this year that you have lost your focus. You have lost what you have seen before, and you have been blinded by the enemy again. And it's you know what you're supposed to do. You know what you're supposed to see. You know what you're supposed to be thinking and praying, but you've lost your sight. And God wants to restore back to you this morning again what you used to see before. And not only what you used to see before, but greater things than you used to see before. With more clarity, with more understanding, with more faith. And the Bible tells us that as time goes on, the latter's going to be better than the first. That wasn't a good enough amen. The Bible tells us that as time goes on, the latter is going to be better than the first. Some of you think you've already seen the best of God, but you haven't seen the best of God yet, because God's not a God of just first. At the marriage, when he turned the water into wine, he saved the best for last. Let me say that again. I need some section here to get this. God has more coming now for us than we've ever seen before. God is asking people to open up their eyes and see what God has for us. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I haven't seen what God wants me to see yet. I've seen bits and pieces. Here's the revelation for me this morning. I know in my heart that I've only seen bits and pieces of what God wants to do in my life. And I'm declaring by faith that this year is going to be the year of acceleration. And this year is going to be the year of restoration. And this year is going to be the best year that I've ever had in my life in ministry. And seeing people change and seeing people saved. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go back to 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. Watch this. So he strengthens himself. Verse 7, he goes to Abiathar the priest. He asks for the ephod. It gets brought to him, which is a symbol of seeking the presence of the Lord. He says, David inquired of the Lord and said, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? He said, pursue. Now watch this. Get this. Pursue. For you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Does anybody know what the definition of all is? Everything. Some of you think, I've lost this. I've lost that. It's gone. It's gone. I'll never see it again. God says here, you will without fail overtake them and you will recover all. Go to 19. Does anybody know what the definition of nothing is? Zero. And so he goes and fights. Past those verses, look what happens. Nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil, anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. All. You might not look like it on the inside, but somebody here on the inside, or on the outside, somebody here on the inside is getting this. If I just came for one person to get this, just one. All right, I see three. There we go. That's worth it. I came. Someone's getting this. That this is my year to recover a few things. This is my year to see a few miracles. No, this isn't my year to see a few miracles. This isn't our year to see a few things. This is our year to recover all. 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 All that's been lost. Somebody stand to your feet. Come on, somebody, let's stand to our feet. Don't lose that excitement because this is the best part. Come on. He said all. If I told you this morning, everything you've lost is going to be recovered this morning, you'd be a lot more excited than you are right now. Everything that's ever been taken, everything that's ever been stolen, everything that's ever been robbed, everything you thought flew out and you'll never see it again, God's going to give it back, not only what you had before, but better. Better. He's a God of better. He's a God of more. He's a God of all. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's give him praise one more time. I want you to praise him like you believe that he's going to recover all this morning. All. Begin to shout it out. God, I want it all. I'll receive it all, Father. Everything you have for me. Everything you have for me, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, come now. Come now. Visit us now. Recover everything now, God. Do it now. Do it again. Do it better, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you with your heads bowed and eyes closed all over this place. How many all over this place this morning? You are here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can't encourage yourself in the Lord because you don't know him. You're here this morning, and as I was reading about Ziklag, and I was reading about loss, and I was reading about suffering, and I was reading about problems, and I was reading about all the destruction, you thought I was reading about your life. Guess what? God wants to give you all back too. But you have to give him all first. You have to give him your life. You have to give him your heart. You have to surrender to him your will. 25 years ago, I died on an altar. I gave my life to Jesus and said, Lord, for the rest of my life, I'm serving you. Amen. And there's been lots of times in my life that I've wanted to give up. There's been lots of times in my life I wanted to throw in the towel. But you got to encourage yourself this morning. And you got to say, no, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. But you cannot do that this morning without Jesus Christ in your life. He is the only way. He is the giver of life. It's not a religion. It's not just a prayer. It's a life change. How many all over this place? I'm not gonna beg you this morning. I'm not gonna waste a lot of time. God is touching your heart right now. You're here. And if you died right now and passed into eternity, you would not spend it with God. You'd spend it separated from the Lord in suffering. And you do not want that this morning. You want to change your life. Just shoot your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I need Jesus. I see your hand. How many more? I see your hand. Quickly. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hands. God bless you. I want Jesus. I want it all. I want everything God has for me this morning. Come on, how many more? I need Jesus this morning. All over. This is God bless you. I see your hand, young man. This is the day of salvation. I see your hand, brother. God bless you. Listen, this forget the Super Bowl. Forget anything else in this life. There ain't gonna be no Super Bowl in hell. There ain't gonna be no Super Bowl. Nothing in this world matters, church. You better get your life right with God this morning. I'm telling you, he's a God of restoration. He can change anything around right now. He can change the course of your life. 25 years ago, I was on my way to hell, and he changed the course of my life. He turned my life around. He can do it for you this morning. How many more? Quickly. If you've already raised your hand, I want you to begin to step out of your seat quickly and come down to this altar. Don't wait. Don't look around. Don't ask someone to come with you. Just come. Amen. I need Jesus. And as they're coming, I want you, if you're here and you did not raise your hand, but you know you're not saved, step out. Amen. Come on, let's give them a hand as they come this morning. Come on, let's encourage them as they come. Come on, you didn't raise your hand, but you don't know Jesus. Come. Come. Just step out. Just step out. Come on, quickly, 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 all over. All over. As they're singing, you're here and backslidden. You said that prayer. You've asked Jesus into your heart, but you're backslidden. You're cold this morning. You know the truth, but you're not living it. Come out of your seats this morning. Come down here and get right with God. Come restore your life with the Lord. Come get right. Come get right this morning. We're going to wait for you. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you're at with God. Step out. Come on. Step out. I'm getting right today, Lord. I'm getting right with God today. I'm going to make some better decisions. I'm going to make some better decisions this morning. Right now, the Lord is tugging at some people's hearts. And the devil's telling you, don't go. Because the devil doesn't want you to change. Just step out. And don't listen to the devil. He hates you. He hates you. He has nothing for you. Amen. There's some more. Come on. God, the Bible says he's married to the backslider. He's married to the backslider. Come on, we're going to wait just a few more seconds.